Hey everyone, I'm trying to get to TwitchCon 2018 this year, but I need your help. How, you may be asking? Well, every little bit counts, and we're trying to offset the cost of travel and accommodations through donations on our Twitch channel. So for the next month, we have a goal of $1,000 that we're trying to hit. If you can, head on over to donate.gamertagradio.com to support, and hopefully I'll see you at TwitchCon.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to the 800th episode of Gamertag Radio. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in right now and also for supporting us throughout this year. You know, earlier this year, we left CBS and we joined Audioboom, and it's been great. I've been getting the stats, how we, every week, it will tell me, you know, how we're doing in different platforms, like in Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcast, Stitch, and other places too, and we've been doing great. So I want to say thank you the listener for listening to the podcast. Doesn't matter if you listen to us later or during the week or even right now when the podcast releases. Thank you so much, because that means a lot to us, and we're going to continue give you a lot of great content in the future, interviews and debates and funny moments and all that good stuff. So make sure to continue supporting us. All right, to celebrate our 800th episode, I decided to have Mandy here on this episode. We talked a lot about Nintendo Switch, two games that we've been playing there, Velocity 2X, and also Arena of Valor. So we talked about that for a good 30 minutes or so. So make sure to tune in. And then after that, I have an exclusive podcast interview with Chris Hopper. He's from Riot Games, and we talked a lot about League of Legends, esports, the esports business. While he was here visiting Miami, we sat down and had a great discussion. So I think you guys are going to like it. But you know what? Also, to celebrate our 800th episode, why not give out a free game on this episode? You know, to start the show strong, right? So this is a brand new copy of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The game is coming out, I believe, in a few days. So if you download it now, it's not going to get unlocked until the day of the release. So here it is. Here's the code for the Xbox One. VVKRD J29PY W6TY72J792VPXHZ. That's for you, the listeners. Whoever downloads this, make sure to hit us up. Let us know that you redeemed this code. And good luck and have fun. And now let's go with my conversation with Mandy, a.k.a. Lady Duck, here only on Gamertag Radio. Enjoy.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so joining me this week, I have Mandy here. What's going on, Mandy?
Hello. I magically appear once again.
See, every time I invite Mandy, it's always about Nintendo Switch.
You guys don't invite me for anything else.
We gotta bring. No, honestly, we have to bring you up, bring you to the show, and we could talk about like other topics too.
So I can fight with Paris?
Yes, it's been a while. I think it's time for you to
just argue on Twitter
fight.
Now.
Yeah, on Twitter and Discord. Yeah, exactly, yep. Exactly. So, Mandy, the other day, well, a couple weeks ago, you were the one that mentioned to me about Velocity, and I was like, I've never heard about this game, and I did some research. I got to see the trailer, some screenshots, and I was like, at first, okay, is this a Metroid style game, like what type of? And then I noticed it was also like the ships and that you could use in the game. I was like, all right, this game sounds very interesting. So I got codes for us, and I believe you've been playing it more than me, because I've been playing a bunch of stuff.
I'm like Yeah, so I'd say I'm like, I think I'm around two-thirds through the main story. There's 50 levels. Mm-hmm. So I'm in like the mid-30s.
Oh, yeah,
so.
I'm nowhere near the 30s.
Well, and so here's the funny thing is, like, I'd seen it. It was like, hey, can anybody like tell me about this? Because it like popped up in my feed. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that looks kind of neat. Like, I like the art. And it was funny because in my mind, I'd never seen it before or played it before. And then once I started playing, I'm like, I feel like I have played this before. And apparently it had been one of the games from PlayStation Plus at one point, and I had installed it and played it, and I just struggled on the PlayStation.
Okay, okay.
Obviously, I'm in the 30s of the levels right now, so I did not struggle as much on the Switch.
Yeah, well, for those that don't know, in the beginning of the game, there's like a very... I find it kind of long tutorial, because then the later on in the game, that's when it gets like really, really challenging. And it seemed more like a puzzle / shooter in a way. Do you agree or not?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like, I honestly probably, I felt for a while like I was cruising really well. The tutorial is a little long, but I kind of like it personally because they introduce so many elements to the different things you can do that, like, sometimes I still forget. Like, oh, I was supposed to do that.
Yeah.
And then I fail a level and have to start over. But like the last, I was like cruising along, like, oh, level, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I'm not getting 100% on them, but I'm doing well enough. And then like the last probably like 5 to 10 levels, it just like was a steep curve of, oh no, this is like, you got to be paying attention. The puzzles are harder. The things you have to accomplish start getting harder. I'm like, oh, this is now difficult. Like, I thought I was going to cruise all the way through all 50 levels. Nope. That was a lie.
See, I'm going to be real about this. I really didn't care much about the story at all or the character. I was more about the puzzles and the things that you do in the game. That to me got my attention the most. The story, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And I just, were you more into the story or you were into more like the puzzles or both?
I think I'm at both now, but I think at first it was just like, oh, just let me play.
Exactly.
This is,
yeah,
cool. I want
to play.
That's
what I felt. Yeah.
Because like it, just the interface and the game felt so different compared to what like most of what I usually play, I guess I should say. And so I was just like, nope, just like let me through the levels. Like, I was reading the dialogue, but I would click through kind of quickly. Now, like, there's funny little jokes and there's a bit more. I'm like, I feel like something's going to happen in the story and I'm going to be surprised. So I'm paying a bit more attention now, but I still think it's probably like 75% puzzles in the gameplay and 25% maybe like the story.
Now, for those that are listening to this and they're like, okay, what the hell is this game about? Because we've been bringing up like the puzzles and all this stuff, but we haven't even talked about the character at all. So
I guess we should like say what.
Yeah,
the
right.
Image.
Yeah, I know. In the beginning of the game, she's like is in a coma or something, right? Do you agree? The character.
Yeah,
the
it
main
seems
character?
Like she's. I'm really confused on if she's supposed to be in a coma or if she was like frozen in stasis or what exactly it was, but she gets found, and they're like, you know, what is this creature? Seems kind of, you know, iffy, not very evolved. And as you're not, you don't really know what's happening, but if they realize she's still alive.
Yes.
And they start trying to like wake her up.
Yes. And that's when the tutorial will come up because it seems like it's her remembering what's been going on. Like before all this happened.
Yeah, like
so
flashback.
The flashback. So you will go to those moments. And at the same time, that's part of the tutorial. So right there, you will learn about like the things you could do. Because you could use also a ship in the game. It reminds me of like the old school 1943 arcade games from like back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. Very like much that. Like just a fresher look to it, but like that style of gameplay.
Exactly. And then that to me was like a little bit too long, I felt, the ship, because I was like, okay, I want to get to see the other way that you could play with the character.
I didn't realize there was another way. So on the opposite end, I obviously didn't do much research of this before I started playing. So you're playing as Lieutenant Kai Tana, if I'm saying it right. But yeah, like I didn't realize. So I was just like, oh, this is neat. Like I was totally satisfied with the playing through the sections that was the ship. And then when they're like, oh, like go through this doorway. And then suddenly you're on foot. I'm like, oh, things just got, I have to learn how to do this too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So then, I started now using the character. I'm running around and it with, in the game, like you're like in a ship. Well, this is like one of the levels. And then from there, you start using your powers where you could disappear, like a teleport, like a fast
teleportation.
And you could also use, what with the ship, you could use teleportation where like there's parts, there's like a wall that will block you. Your ship can't go through there. So you have to teleport, they'll show like an icon where you could put across the wall. And you could teleport to there. But then later on, it gets so hard because you're collecting stuff too while you're flying or while you're running. And you have to use that teleportation a lot in the game to help you out. It gets really, really difficult later in the game.
Yeah, and when it's like scrolling up and you're trying to teleport. And the other thing, I don't know if you're to this yet, so this might be spoiler, FYI, okay. Is that at some point it's going to have where you like drop this beacon that you can teleport back to because...
Yes, I've been to that one. Okay. Yeah.
So there's like areas where the map branches and you need to be able to come back there. I don't know. Like it's difficult. Like I'm sitting here like, oh, I need to actually like pay attention to what I'm doing. But it's fun. I like it. Like I haven't actually looked at how many hours I have in it, but I'm like more than halfway through the game.
Yeah, and it seems to me, it's like, okay, let me pick up and play very quick. And I think this is like the perfect game for the Switch because let's say you're on the go, you're in a hurry, you play like a level or two very quick and then you move on, turn it off and play, and then you come back and play it again. Like, that's the thing I like about this game, that it's not one of those, long RPG type game. This one is, okay, I finished a level, let me save it, let me go back later on, like that. That's the vibe I get in this game, which is perfect.
I mean,
for the Switch.
I play the long RPGs too, but it's a nice kind of bit of action and, you know, make your brain work a little bit, solve the puzzles. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like that. You know, you could take a long time. I've struggled a bit with a couple of the last few levels that I've been playing, but you can also literally, like, they have timers. There's like tiers of, you know, are you going to get all three stars across like points in time and the number of survivors that you've rescued and things. And so you can do them quickly. Like most of probably like the first 10 to 20 levels, maybe not all the way to 20, but you can do in about 5 minutes or less if you're like really focused. So it's been easy for me to like, oh, pick it up, play through a level or two and then set it down and go do something else. So I like that. And as I said before, I realized I'd actually tried this on the PlayStation. And I'm not sure if it was because I was expecting like a longer form game or what it was, but I really didn't get into it. But I feel like the handheld, the format of the Switch, and especially the fact that it's handheld, is much more like I'm playing a lot more of it. It's more accessible than I expected it to be. Like having made that connection of like, oh, I've played this before. I really didn't like it the first time I played it. So it's really the form factor that works. I've played it mostly in handheld mode. I have played it a little bit on the TV, but it just seems to like just work really with like the handset.
Mm. Yeah, I've been playing it more on my TV than handheld.
Really?
Yeah. Because usually when I travel, that's when I take my Switch and start playing the games, you know, so... lately I haven't been traveling, so I've just been home and just playing it through the TV, which it looks great on TV. And one thing we haven't mentioned is the music. I really enjoy the music in this game.
Oh yeah. Like the sound, the audio design they did for this was really well done.
Yes. Very cool.
Like I feel it with how like you're playing, the way the sound and the music address. It's like, yeah, all right, get pumped up. This is going to be a difficult section and things like that. So
Yeah. So we both agree this is a game to definitely, people should definitely check this out, right, for the Switch. I highly recommend it. I think it's a lot of fun.
I do too. So this is, as a reminder, since we mentioned at the beginning, but we'll say it again, this is Velocity 2X by Future Lab. It is out on other platforms, I believe PlayStation 4, and I actually don't know if it's on anything else, but I would recommend it for the Switch. I felt like it was really made for a platform it, and I believe it's $14.99.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's really cheap. And the file is not that big either. Yeah, it's not that big, the file. So another game that I definitely want to talk about, Mandy, is Arena of Valor. So
yes,
we've been playing this was during the summer. They had it as like an early beta for like some of the Switch owners. And then 2 weeks ago, a week ago, they had it only for 2 days. I couldn't play it. I only played like once, very quick. And then I was like, all right, I'll jump tomorrow. So when I turned on the Switch and I started playing the game, I was like, okay, the service is not working. Maybe they're doing some stuff. Let me go the next day or later on. I tried the same thing and I gave up. But now the game is officially out, right?
It's officially out. Yeah. So I'm going to also just say that Danny and I did the same failure here. Where like the headline for the email had said something like, oh, early access. I'm like, oh, it's about to release. We're getting to play it a couple days early. But then if you read the actual description in the email, it was like, we're doing a quick test for like 2 days.
See, so I both didn't of know us that.
Failed to read that because I did the same thing. I like played it a little bit when I had first reinstalled it. And then forgot about it and tried like a couple days later to play again and the servers were down. And then I realized, so we both failed together. Good job. Yes. But it's now officially out. Mm-hmm.
And this is a popular game in China, I believe, right? Is it China or Korea? Like I know it's really popular around that area because this is also a mobile game, isn't it? Could you know more about it?
So Arena of Valor, this is going to be like all of the stuff, is made by Tencent Games. And it is also available for those of you that play mobile games on your phone or tablets. So this was originally a mobile game and it's super popular under a different name, Honor of Kings, in the East. And they brought it to the West under the title Arena of Valor. And then they have just now released it onto the Switch. It is a MOBA. So it's a multiplayer online battle arena game. So think League of Legends, Dota, Heroes of the Storm-esque. And I don't know. I like it.
It's fun. It's fun as hell. I freaking love this game.
It is free to download. It's actually really interesting. I'm quite excited to see what a lot of people say about it and like what kind of traction it gets. But I don't know. I like it. I've played other MOBAs and for some reason this just feels a little more like easier to step into. And I literally just go in for the most part and I play like a couple 3v3s and a couple 5v5s and that's it. I'm not playing ranked. I'm not playing super competitive.
Well, the time that we played it, ranked wasn't even available. It was only unranked.
That's true.
Yeah. So now that it's available, I definitely want to, you know, compete and just play ranked mode. 5v5, I think, is perfect for me. I haven't tried a 3v3. I just like when it's like 5v5, in my opinion. But you said, it feels easy. It's not, when I mean easy to control and easy to understand.
They map the controls really well. I was a little worried at first because like mobile games, having the touchscreen and everything, I was like, oh, how are they going to like make this work on the Switch? But they did a really good job of mapping the controls to a controller.
Yes, I totally agree. Now, at first we were having issues during the early beta testing because we couldn't, for some strange reason, we couldn't play together at all.
Oh yeah, it wasn't letting us like join a party together
at all. And I was pissed. I was like, oh man, I want to play with friends, you know. But now that the game is officially out, man, I think we definitely should play some games together. And so far, I think I only lost like maybe two games. And the majority of the time, I've been kicking butt like crazy.
I feel like I've done pretty decently. Yeah. The other thing I will say too, for anybody that's interested in giving it a try, I think for like the first couple weeks, they have all of the heroes available. So it runs like most of the other MOBAs, where typically they'll have like a selection of the heroes at it, like week to week, available for you to just play with for free. And then the rest of the ones you're trying to like earn enough currency to buy. But to start with, they have all of them available. So I've like been trying everyone, like, all right, who do I want to like save up to buy first?
Now, do you see yourself putting some money for this, or are you just going to try the free version all the way?
I'd say right now, I'm not too sure I'd put money into it yet, just because I know how I am with these types of games. And usually it's like, oh, I like it for a bit and then I find something else. But I could see, like, if I continued to play it consistently enough, I'd be like, all right, guys, take a little bit of my money. Like, you deserve it.
Yeah. I mean, it's free, guys. If you listen to this, it's a totally free game. And I think this is the perfect game if you want to get together with, like, the GTR members, set up a match, get five members, and just go out and just play on against other players, man, as a team. I think that would be cool, you know? So. Mm-hmm. And I think, Mandy, I think we should do that too. We should get together and start playing it. And the thing that sucks about this is that there's no voice chat in the game. So the only way you could have voice chat is if you use the Discord app, in my opinion. You know, we probably will create a room. You could create a room and start playing it. Because I think that communication is super important in this game. Don't we agree?
Yes, communication. I mean, like, if you want to be playing semi-seriously. I play the 3v3 because it's like only one lane and
it's only matches. One for three? Oh, 3v3?
Yeah, so 3v3 is only one lane. And so typically most of the other, like a 5v5 will have three lanes.
Yes,
three lanes. And then you have a bunch of the jungle. So the 3v3 has a single lane. There's a little bit of jungle, but not a ton. Oh. And and because of that, the matches are just shorter. So, like, if you've played MOBAs, like, matches can go long, like 45 minutes, an hour. So, for me, I'm like, oh, I just want to play for, like, anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. I play 3v3 for the shorter matches. I will say the one thing that people notice, to not just spout all good things, is that some of the loading times feel really long.
Oh, yes. And this, the loading time in the beginning of the game, like when everybody's in the lobby and we're about to start a match, it will show like loading time from like all the players that actually,
yeah, like the percentage of their game loading in.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, you can see that they have countdown timers, they have like the loading percentages for everybody. So you kind of have some perspective, but it can seem really long, especially if you're used to playing like non-multiplayer games. So single player games and stuff. And I'm told supposedly, by a friend who plays the mobile version as well, that these loading times are actually shorter than the mobile version, which is mind-blowing.
Really?
So it seems like it's taking forever. That seems to just be the way it is. And I don't know if it's because of this whole, like, just the number, you know, the number of people you're connecting in and it being on the Switch or what, but just, you know, caveat, like, for all that it plays well once you're in-game, and for all that, like, I like their setup, their menus and everything, and how they mapped the controls, it does have kind of long loading times.
Now, when I play 5v5, I'm usually going to the bottom lane. I never go to, like, the middle or top. For some strange reason, I'm always going to the one in the bottom, because that's where I think I find, like, less enemies around that area. Because I think a lot of the majority of the enemies, they either will go to the top lane or the middle lane. How's your strategy when you play?
Usually it's going to depend on two things. What type of hero I'm playing, whether I'm playing, you know, a tank, a warrior, or like support. Mm-hmm. And then where everybody else goes. Because like if I'm playing a tank or a warrior, I can probably lane by myself, no problem. So I'll look for where I think I can do the most good. I'm not particular to like what lane. But if I'm support, I'm going to make sure that I'm laning with like a mage or a tank or something like that, because, you know, I'm not going to really be able to lane by myself because I'm a support. Like, technically some people are good at that, but like I cannot lane by myself as a support. So it's like balancing out, like, okay, if I'm a support, I'll go lane with, you know, somebody else who's going to have like DPS or something. And then if I'm anything else. I like mages actually the best, probably. If I'm anything else, mm-hmm. I'll say, okay, well, what's the rest of my team have? Is there a support that I can lane with? Or should I try and just like lane on my own? And eventually, depending on who you play with. So like when we played before, we eventually kind of had like a good balance for understanding how each other played. So we could lane together pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. And for those that never play this too, you know, you're going to die multiple times.
It's so, just the way these games go.
Yeah, that's how it is. But you could also upgrade your powers. So yes, I'm always picking the warrior because I'm always swinging left and right. That's my style.
So. I like you can learn. There's people to play with. There's the training match or their mm-hmm. training options, so you can test out different heroes and things, which is kind of what I do. I go in and be like, all right, how do I like how this hero feels? Do I like their abilities? And, you know, would I take them into a match kind of thing? And the other thing I'll say too is that I feel like these games are usually pretty forgiving in the sense that, like, hey, if you're doing like the daily logins right now, I think it's there's a couple of like limited time logins they're doing for the launch of the game. And like one of them is, oh, if you log in 14 days in a row, you're going to get these like two heroes. We'll just give them to you.
That's so really cool. That's awesome.
I'm like,
awesome.
Yeah, you know what? I need to like remember to log in, because if nothing else, I'll like have them then.
Yeah, yeah. So it's good. Yeah, this is another game, I think, in my opinion, that I highly recommend for Switch owners to also check it out. And actually, it's a totally free game. It's not.
It is.
Look, you could play this game for free forever. You don't have to go and spend money. If you want, that's optional, I think. So I think you should definitely check this out, right, Mandy? Your thoughts? Okay.
I think it's, considering that it's free for you to get, why not at least download it and try it? And then, you know, it's not for everybody. If you know you don't like MOBAs, maybe not for you. I don't love MOBAs, but I'm willing to try them. And I feel like this one's like a good, like, oh, I'll probably keep it installed.
Yeah.
I'll like go play a game here or there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And if you're planning to plan to play this game, let us know. Probably we'll set something up, Mandy, a game night or something, right? We could definitely do that.
Yeah, for sure. We can like see who's interested and run some rooms. Go play, fail miserably. It'll be great.
Yeah, and we have to test out the multiplayer now, like for getting like inviting our friends into the game and so on. So, and I think it's fine now, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah, like later on at the, like in the second half of that test, I don't think we played again towards like the later part of it, but I think they got whatever bug it was worked out, because I was able to join matches with some other people, no problem.
Okay.
So I'm like fully confident that they've probably got it figured out now.
Well, good to know, man. So anything else, Mandy? Anything else about the Nintendo Switch world has been going on before we wrap it up?
All the things. But like nothing else that I would be like, here, this thing. I've just been playing Velocity 2X and now Arena of Valor. Like it sounds terrible, but I'm like, there's so much to play right now that those are the two I've been focused on.
Are you excited about Animal Crossing for next year?
So I find this funny. Like, I like Animal Crossing, but I'm not like a cult follower of Animal Crossing. Like a lot of people, and like, but that was masterful trolling by Nintendo.
Oh, hell yeah. By Nintendo. Definitely, man. Hell yeah.
Oh my God. Like that was like pretty much on par with like Konami and Metal Gear in the box.
Yes. I totally agree with that. But see, Animal Crossing to me, it reminds me when I first started dating, with Denny Jenny, we will actually play on our DS, man. Like, I'll tell her, okay, go this time, log on, go to this area. That's going to be like a special event. Like, yo, we always like talk about it.
I mean, I put plenty of hours into what was the last 3DS one? New Leaf.
Yes.
Animal Crossing New Leaf. Like, I put plenty of hours into it. It's just one of those that I'm like, I have so much else to play, and there's going to be a Pokemon this year, and there's going to be a Pokemon next year, and Smash Brothers is coming out, and I just have like this long list of things I'm already going to be buying for my Switch. I will say, though, it was hysterical because, like, minor small story, there were all the rumors that there was going to be an Animal Crossing announcement for that Direct. And it just happened to pop up in my feed. And I'd sent a note to one of my coworkers, who I know is a very big Animal Crossing fan. And she walked by a few minutes later and was like, just so you know, one of the people in IT was remoting into my computer to try and fix something when you sent that message to me, and spazzed out because they were really excited that there might be another Animal Crossing. And I'm just like, they're everywhere. Animal Crossing fans are everywhere.
Are you getting Pokemon?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, yeah, man, these stuff are gonna get.
Let's be real here.
Yeah. So Pokemon,
it's to tide me over.
Okay. It's to what's tide, up?
The Pokemon's to tide me over until like the real True Blue Pokemon RPG next year.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely getting Smash. I'm definitely getting that.
Oh, 100%.
100%. Now, which character are you going to be using?
That's a hard question. Huh. I'm not actually sure.
Yeah, okay.
There's so many choices now that it's almost hard to say, like, this is one of my favorites from earlier games.
This has to be the most, like, the biggest game that I ever seen from Nintendo, like, content-wise.
Oh, the roster is huge.
The roster is huge. The amount of levels, the amount of features. They haven't really talked much about online, which I hope there's like a lot of stuff in there. But and I think they're gonna have like a story mode there too. So for sure.
Well, they used to, because like if you think about some of the older ones, the story mode would like progress you through unlocking some of the characters for like couch play.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how they do it. I don't know. It's great to see them harken back to the older games and help like bring that entire, catalog of characters together, because it makes sense. Like if you've already used them previously, why not just pull all of that content in, give you plenty more to start with, and then at the same time be able to introduce new things.
Are you one of those Smash Brother fans that would prefer to play this with like the GameCube controller, or are you going to use the GameCube controller, or are you going to stay with the Nintendo Switch controller?
It's a good question. I'll probably see how it feels with the Switch controller first, and then if I'm really struggling super hard, GameCube controller.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll stick with just the Nintendo Switch. I was never a fan of the GameCube controller. I was never a fan of that controller at all.
I feel like Nintendo has the, not including like Sega, of the three big manufacturers now, Nintendo has the oldest, strangest history of controllers.
Yes, yes. And I
between
think
that, like the
N64 the
into the GameCube.
Well, I wasn't.
How did we play games with only one analog stick? Like,
yeah, we got really. I got used to it. Like playing it now. Like the rumor is right now that there's going to be a Nintendo 64 Classic that's going to be announced. That's the rumor, right? I don't know if I will go and buy it. Like, I was so excited with the NES and the Super NES Classic. The reason why I'm not super thrilled about this N64 Classic is because of that controller. You know, playing a lot of wrestling games, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, and other games, Pilot Wings, Mario 64. My controller, the analog, will break, so I didn't have enough money to buy another controller. I will get.
What were
like,
you doing that you broke it?
I was playing it so much, my analog stick, like the top part, would get messed up. So I'll get like a little piece of paper or something, put tape on it, and I will play my Nintendo 64 like that after a while. Hey man, those controllers, they were expensive. Oh hell no.
I mean, yeah, I'm not arguing that they weren't expensive. I'm just like, what were you doing that you broke it? I don't ever remember breaking anything.
Well, playing games like WCW versus NWO and also WWF No Mercy, I use a lot of the analog to do certain moves and so on. So after a while, that part of the controller would just break, the top part of the analog stick.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I felt like I played pretty hard too, and I don't remember breaking one. But
oh,
yeah,
man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I still have most of my old systems. Like somehow I just managed to like find or accumulate. So I still have a Nintendo 64. So at this point, it's more interesting for me to go to like used shops and try to find like old copies of games than like the classic, these like mini releases. But yeah, I don't know. Nintendo has a lot coming up. I'm like, I don't know. There's so many things. They're going to get so much of my money. Not that other, not that like the other companies aren't getting my money too, but Nintendo just seems to keep like being like, here, let us just pull from our vast library of all of the favorites you grew up with as a child. Like, here's Pokemon. Oh, you're going to get two Pokemon. Here's Animal Crossing. Here's Fire Emblem. You know, here's Mario Party and Smash Brothers and Mega Man. And the newer stuff like Luigi's Mansion 3. Like, yes, please. Yeah.
Right now, the Nintendo Switch, in my opinion, is my favorite console for indie games. Because I could, like, Dead Cells, The Messenger, now this, Velocity game. And coming up, which I am very excited, is the new Jackbox game. It's coming out. I'm gonna get it for the my Nintendo Switch.
For the 64 is coming back.
Yeah, it's coming back. No, but I'm gonna get it for my Switch and just take it with me. Play like you know, play with my family for Halloween and Thanksgiving. So yeah, I think Nintendo Switch for me is of course I love the first party games, but it's perfect for like indie games for me to buy it through there. Like I prefer to buy it there than the Xbox or PlayStation. Like the indie game.
Yeah, I feel like I've done a lot better about like going in and making random small purchases. And I don't know if it's like, I don't know what it is exactly. The only thing I can possibly quantify it is that I love the idea that I can drop it in the dock and play it on the TV like a home console, but then I can just pick it up and walk off. So like before it was always like, oh, do I buy something? Well, before you didn't have that cross for those of us that didn't have the Vita. So it was either like you were just buying like 3DS games or you were buying console games and there was no in between. And I was like, oh, the streams have crossed and it's amazing.
All right, Mandy. But no, I just want to say thanks, Mandy, for joining this episode.
Oh, thank you. It's fun. We got to play and we got to talk about games and we're going to play more things. And guys, if you're going to play Arena of Valor, just let me know.
Yeah, that
I'll be your buddy.
Know.
I can't promise I'll carry you, but I'll play.
Now, is there any upcoming game that you think we should get together and talk about it in the future for us to record once we get it? I think you should think about it.
Yeah, like what would it be next? That's a good question. There's so many things. Pokemon. But that's
I'm not a Pokemon guy.
No, that's right. None of you guys were. It's why it's so hard to talk Pokemon with you.
Yeah. Well, actually, the only thing I played was Pokemon Go. I got into that for a while and then I stopped.
Well done.
At least that's something. That's Pokemon related. High five.
High five. Better than nothing.
Yes. Yes. All right. Mandy, if people want to follow you and hit you up, if they want to contact you, you want to mention your Twitter?
Yes. Everybody can find me on Twitter and most video game places, including Discord under LadyLuck34. I promise I will 100% argue video games with you.
Yes.
And I randomly just show up to troll Paris.
All right, make sure to join our Discord channel. It's discord.gg/GTR. Make sure to join. And Mandy, thanks a lot for joining.
Thanks, guys. Have fun playing games.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, that was my conversation with Mandy, all about the Nintendo Switch. I hope you guys liked it. Now, let's go with Chris Hopper at Orion Games. We talked a lot about esports and the esports business. So enjoy it. Check it out.
So my name is Chris Hopper. A bunch of people know me as Riot Chopper. I'm the head of esports for North America for Riot Games, which means I lead all of our kind of professional League of Legends efforts in the region. So we have the NALCS and our Academy League, as well as a broadcast studio, a bunch of live events each year, kind of our relationships with the owners, our business development, you know, all sorts of kind of everything that goes into operating the professional esports scene for the region.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been at Riot for about 6 years, and over the time have worn about as many hats as exist in esports. So I've done a lot of work on league operations, rule sets, tournament formats, you know, refereeing, discipline, that kind of stuff. But at various times, I led our insights team. I was a web content editor. I've PO'd live events, you know, kind of whatever the team needed as we grew up.
That's cool. That's cool. I know you guys were here a couple months ago, which was my first League of Legends event. My co-host, his son, he's like a pro. He's a huge fan. He was the one that we took him to the event. So he was the one telling us about the teams and what was going on. We were like, all right, so I learned a lot just being part of the event, you know? So it was cool that you guys came to Miami out of all places. I was very surprised.
I mean, we've, you know, it's a great market down here. We have a ton of great fans. Mm-hmm. You know, the Fillmore is a very cool venue, and we kind of wanted to try out a venue like that. Normally, we kind of look at more sort of traditional sports style arenas, and we want to see what sort of more traditional theater could feel like and what the show would look like there. Mm-hmm. And we had a great time. You know, the teams played great. The fans were super loud. You know, the venue looked awesome. So
sold out too, right?
Yeah, sold out. Cool. Sold out quickly. We had a we had a great time there. You know, we look to bring live events all around the country. And so, you know, we've done events in LA, New York, Boston, Toronto, Vancouver. And, you know, we like to move around because at the end of the day, the live event to us is one of the core experiences of League of Legends, mm-hmm. one of the core experiences of being a fan. And so we want to put it in front of as many fans as possible.
And not only that, it's good to also open up and go to different places of people that maybe are curious about it and they will learn more about esports, right? About the business side.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a great kind of marketing tool. You know, friends bring their friends and say, like, hey, you got to come check this out. Mm-hmm. It's also a great way for people who, you know, might be on the fence about esports to really kind of sink their teeth into it. You know, I remember back when I was considering joining Riot, you know, 6 years ago. And, you know, at the time, esports was much smaller than it is now. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of trying to decide between, you know, a finance job in New York and coming to work esports. And what ultimately convinced me was the championship that we had at the Galen Center, which was USC's basketball arena. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I heard the, you know, the fans counting down the clock to the start of the show. And, you know, clock hits zero, lights go out, the crowd stands up and roars. Mm-hmm. And it felt just like a traditional sports event. And that's, to me, when I saw that there was a community here, that there was the passion here, that there were all of these same elements that you saw highlighted in traditional sport. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what ultimately sold me on, you know, joining the team and kind of believing that, like, this is a real thing. This has, you know, the legs to really kind of grow into something special.
Yeah, a lot of – this is the thing that frustrates me. Like, when people that don't know anything about esports and they see, oh, it's a bunch of gamers just playing – what they will say, okay, why esports is a sport? It's not a sport. What will you say to those people that always bring that up?
You know, to me, I don't really care if they call it a sport. They can call it a competition. They can call it an activity.
Yeah.
They can call it a niche. They can call it a hobby. But at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I have 50 players in North America who are on, you know, on professional contracts. Over 70% of our league are on multi-year contracts. The average starter in our league right now is earning over $330,000. Mm-hmm. And those dudes are putting it all on the line. They're practicing, you know, as much as any professional athlete out there. They're working towards, you know, a championship season. You know, there's too many analogies between what these guys do and what pro athletes do to ignore the correlation. But, you know, whether they want to call it a sport or, you know, something else doesn't really matter to me at the end of the day. Because at the end of the day, I know what these guys are doing. I know the effort that they're putting in, and our fans know it as well. And so, you know, the label is a label. You know, it's ultimately something that people are going to, you know, discuss and debate. But it's not as important to us.
You know what I just realized? The other day I was watching Netflix and I was watching the series Explain. Was that you?
That was me, yeah.
I just realized right now, man.
Yeah.
And that was a great episode because one of the things that it got my attention because my fiance was watching it too, and I think it was you that brought up that the difference between regular sporting event mm-hmm. that they aired on ESPN and what you guys do everything.
Yep,
you're the broadcasters, the commentators, the league, everything.
Yeah,
right?
It was we are basketball, we're the NBA, and we're ESPN.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really cool that you broke it down like that.
Yeah, it's crazy because when you think about traditional sport, no one owns basketball, right? No one owns football. Mm-hmm. No one's out there with their sole goal is like thinking about selling more basketballs or basketball hoops. Like, mm-hmm. but we're thinking about, you know, the promotion of the game, and like that's one aspect, but we're also thinking about how to put on the professional league. And then at the same time, we also have to think about how to show that on broadcast as well. So, you know, it's when you think about how Riot started as just like a video game company, like a company that wants to develop video games, mm-hmm. that's a lot of core competencies to develop. And, you know, it's really a testament to Riot's founders, you know, Mark Merrill and Brandon Beck, that these guys saw the opportunity space here. They said, this is mm-hmm. a game that can be played competitively, and we think there's room to invest here and grow this. And so, you know, from day one, they were incredibly supportive, and they helped us to invest and bring on guys like, you know, an executive producer who had just done the Super Bowl, or, you know, guys who had worked on, you know, the Olympics, or guys who had worked on BlizzCon, guys who had worked on other big gaming shows. You know, we brought on this all-star crew of talent, and they were really able to allow us to kind of cut that learning curve a lot more quickly. So we were able to make progress in a matter of months and years that had taken other traditional sports decades to learn. Mm-hmm.
So what is the things that you guys learned so far since joining Riot from the business side of esports that you didn't know before joining?
Oh man, just one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what's been really interesting to me from, you know, kind of learning on the business side has been understanding the difference between where media is displayed and how that doesn't always make as much sense as you would think that it would. You know, at the end of the day, I think of it as the content of the show and the demographic that's watching it should be what drives it. But there's so much about channel that ends up driving it. So as an example, you can run the same ad against, you know, inside the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. And then run the same ad against our League of Legends content. It can get the same number of views, but it's worth a lot more on linear TV. And that's just sort of a legacy piece of the business that is like slowly starting to fade, but it's just an education element. And so, you know, I always kind of like, I worked in finance in New York before I came out to Riot. Mm-hmm. It felt like everyone was, you know, doing everything they could to make sure that they knew up to the minute what was going on. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, it feels like there's still such a learning space for sponsors and for, media buyers that hasn't quite caught up. And what's exciting is to see it now starting to catch up. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, when I first got here, I was very surprised at the difference between, you know, watching something digitally, whether it be on, you know, YouTube or Twitch or Hulu or something like that, mm-hmm. and watching it on TV. And, you know, we're still kind of growing in that space and working with these distributors to get more kind of educated about our demographic and how we do our business. But that was definitely a wake up call.
You know, it was cool hearing that the Olympics are interested now on getting esports now to be part of the Olympics. What do you think about that, man? Now that a lot of like the mainstream folks are like, all right, we got to get into the business now. I think in a way is good, but in a way, another way too, is kind of scary too, man, getting them involved and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, it is. There are definitely pros and cons.
What is both pros and the cons?
Yeah, you know, when I think about the pros, like obviously there's massive exposure, this massive legitimacy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. There's an incredible tradition there. And so when you think about galvanizing, you know, an entire nation behind something, you know, the Olympics is one of the best ways to do it. You know, there's very few times that I care about curling, but, you know, the Olympics is going to be one of them. And so, yeah. You know, you can pull in people who might not normally be a fan of your sport and hopefully convert them into being longer term fans. Mm-hmm. You know, the scary part of that, though, is that there's a lot of, you know, rules and regulations that come with being part of the IOC and being part of that sort of organizing committee and that the Olympic structure there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of those rules are things that make a lot of sense for physical sports and don't necessarily make as much sense for esports. And so, you know, we've always been kind of cautious because we want to make sure that we don't rush into anything and kind of push esports into a space that it's not meant to be. You know, we've learned a ton from traditional sports over the years. We've been equally as careful to not overly mimic traditional sports because we want to make esports special and we want to make sure that we're capturing the heart of what, you know, esports should be, mm-hmm. and not overly trying to turn it into basketball or turn it into football. And so to me, I think the Olympics is kind of in that same realm. It's, you know, it's obviously a massive opportunity and it's something that's very interesting. And that's why we're kind of talking to them and, you know, kind of seeing what interest they have in adding us. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure that if we do so in the right way and we do so in a way that makes sense for esports.
Now, when you guys make changes every season, mm-hmm. is it based on the teams giving you feedback? Is it the fans, or is it more on you guys get to see like
the, all of the above?
All of it. Okay.
All of the above. Okay. You know, we're very close with our teams and our owners. Mm-hmm. We meet with them every couple months and have calls, you know, more frequently than that. So we're pretty well abreast of the things that they're interested in seeing change. And so a lot of times what will happen is the owners will bring up a problem, or the Players Association, which is a collective of the players that we've actually funded, mm-hmm. to kind of give a more organized voice to the players. You know, the Players Association will reach out with an issue, and you know, we'll then take that internally, we'll investigate it, we'll kind of suss out some possible solutions, and then we'll go back to the you know, the owner or the PA or whoever. I'll say, hey, like, these are kind of the things that we're thinking about. Do any of these kind of line up with how you thought we could solve the problem? Mm-hmm. And so we try to make it an iterative process. You know, we're not trying to be out here dictating the esports scene, because we have too many good partners. You know, no. The players are living in this ecosystem every day. And when you think about the sports knowledge that we have among our owners, I mean, we have ownership from, you know, the New York Knicks, the Madison Square Garden Company, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Houston Rockets, the Golden State Warriors. You have pro players like Andre Iguodala, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant are investors in some of these pro teams. Like, mm-hmm. there's a wealth of knowledge in this space that would be, you know, silly for us to pass up. And so, you know, we like to listen to these guys. We like to understand what challenges they see in the league. You know, there's going to be some challenges that we see in the league and we're looking to kind of shape, but we always try to make sure that it's a participatory process with all of our partners.
So what's next now for you guys? What's next?
You know, the big next thing is going to be the World Championship. We've got that coming up starting October 1st, running until November 3rd. Mm-hmm. That'll be 24 of the top teams across the world participating in the tournament in South Korea. You know, it's always the most exciting part of the year. You know, it's going to be the biggest thing in competitive gaming. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're really excited to see that. People can go to watch it for free on twitch.tv, youtube.com, or ESPN Plus. You can get more information about the tournament on lolesports.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're really psyched. You know, I think some of the North American teams have a really good chance this year. And
that's good. That's good. Let's go USA.
Eternally hopeful. Yeah. And so, you know, we're really hoping that they kind of make a big move this year and can make it all the way to the final on November 3rd, which, you know, will be quite the spectacle. So, you know, if you're really looking for something that, you know, you want to introduce someone to esports, you want to introduce someone to, you know, what we do, mm-hmm. November 3rd's the day. That's going to be our big championship final. And, you know, people will get to see not only kind of the spectacle of the game itself, but also the total kind of entertainment package we can build around it.
Do you guys see yourself coming back to Miami? Because let me tell you, man, going to the event for the first time, we were had opportunity to interview some of the players, different teams, and I have never seen a crowd that excited for the players. It was really cool experiencing that, man, for the first time, man.
That was Miami's the only place where I've had a fan come up to me and thank me for bringing the event to a location, which was kind of cool.
Because we barely get a lot. We don't get like events like that over here. You know what I'm saying? So that's good.
That's why, you know, we want to make sure that we were able to serve South Florida. So, you know, will we be back? I'm sure someday we will. You know, there's a lot of cities in the you know, North America that we got to hit, and a lot of audiences that are, you know, just as excited and just as hungry. So, you know, it probably won't be in the next year or two, but like, I'm sure we'll be back here someday. Like, the fans here are just too good. They're you know, too excited.
Plus, the weather's awesome, man. You know?
Well, it's not bad. I mean, we're coming from LA, so, you know, it's hard to be. This is like LA, but a little bit more humid.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to compete with our studio there. But, you know, definitely. We love the fans out here. We love coming to the East Coast. So, you know, I'm sure we'll be back.
When you go to those world finals events, do you get excited as a fan too? Like, what how's the process, man, when you go to these events?
It's kind of like, you know, like an older kid on Christmas morning still. It's like, you know, there's still some of that magic.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, in the back of your mind, it might still just be another event. It might still just be another work day. But like, you hear the countdown, you know, the lights go out, the crowd roars, you know, and then the show starts. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's just a rush, and it's adrenaline. It's, you know, like the emotion of the crowd kind of washing over you, their excitement, their passion. Mm-hmm. You know, it is, it's pretty heady stuff. So, you know, that to me is one of the greatest means of kind of remembering why we do this. Because at the end of the day, we do all of our esport efforts for the fans. We do all of it to build out an experience that we think our fans deserve and our fans can enjoy. Mm-hmm. And live events are really kind of the culmination of that. So hearing that sheer joy expressed by thousands of people, mm-hmm. you know, is, you know, that's the charge that you need to keep working and keep pushing. So, It's, yeah, I mean, it's just, those are the best.
I think it's important for companies like Riot and other companies too to promote also the stories behind the players, because I think that will also influence you to support them too, man, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, I think companies should do that more often, man. So another thing too, like I think they will get into esports more because of that too, man. So I'd like to see that in the future with you guys.
We do a fair amount of kind of the more personal human side stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a program called Eyes On that runs during Worlds and during our big events, mm-hmm. that kind of follows the teams outside of the game and mm-hmm. sort of like sees how they're doing, how their mentality is. We have another series called Drive, which we'd used on in North America. That was specifically built to kind of highlight an individual player's story and like how they got to the pro level.
That's cool.
And, you know, we're constantly working with, you know, media and others, you know, third parties who are interested in telling those stories too. You know, mm-hmm. we're never going to be able to tell every story, nor are we going to be able to tell every story perfectly. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to be able to work with third parties and kind of a robust media industry around esports mm-hmm. to tell some of those stories as well. So, you know, we're excited to have partners in that space.
You could do me a huge favor. My co-host, his son, Dimitri, he's a huge fan. You want to give him a shout out?
Hey, Dimitri, we're super glad you play. You know, if you ever want to get a game in, you just shoot me an ad, and I'm sure we can get a game in sometime. You know, we're super happy that we have fans all over the world who love to play. That's, you know, that's the reason we do it. And, you know, hopefully you get to enjoy Worlds this year. Might be a little late for you, so you have to talk to your folks about getting to stay up.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're gonna tune in, we really hope you enjoy the show, and thanks again for playing.
Yeah. See, Dimitri, got your back, man. All right, but thanks a lot for the interview, man.
It was fun.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, and that's it. We're going to wrap it up here. Gamertag Radio, 800th episode. Don't worry, guys. P and Paris are going to be back next week. We're going to sit down and talk about a lot of other things. And plus, we need fan mail. All right, send us questions. And for those that have never had a chance to call us, this is your opportunity to ask us questions, and we'll play on the podcast. So it could be via email, voicemail, even SpeakPipe. Go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and you could leave a message through your mobile phone, the computer, and we'll wait. We'll wait for you guys, and hopefully we'll read this on a future episode of Gamertag Radio. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Danny Pena. I'm out. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.